Good morning. This is April the 19th, the second Sunday of Easter, and I'm Pastor Rod. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, to us all. Amen. Like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. He remembers his covenant forever, the words that he commanded for 1,000 generations. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee. We glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord, Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning at verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple, and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle for this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Alleluia. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here, and see my hands. And put out your hand, and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. We join together in declaring our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a Easter time, right? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Our gospel reading this morning carries on the good news message we heard last week, but it begins in the evening time of that first Easter day. And what do we find? Well, we find that the disciples are probably not very certain that Jesus is alive. They're a bit confused. The women have told them some things, and Peter and James, they saw the tomb empty. But beyond that, these disciples are hidden away, in a sense. They are behind locked doors. They are shuttered in for fear. For fear. But lo and behold, Jesus appears to them with good news. He says to them, "Peace be with you." Now, what better words could Jesus possibly give disciples who are afraid than the words, "Peace be with you"? It's like God saying, "Be still and know that I am God." In the midst of a storm, we know that God's peace is with us. In the midst of confusion and fear, God's peace is with us. How do I know that? Because Jesus spoke those words. He said to his disciples who were afraid, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, we are told, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now Jesus gives them a commission. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." It is that word of forgiveness that brings the troubled heart peace. Now, before I go much further, because there's a lot in this gospel lesson that one could proclaim the good news from, not only there, but also in the book of Acts and also in Peter's epistle. There is tons of good news, and it's easy perhaps to get sidetracked, for me especially, to move off into a wrong turn. That is, get off the subject. And I don't want to get off the subject, because what I want to share with you is how fear is taken care of by our Lord. I mean, the greatest fear of all, after all, is death. And God takes care of that for us. And that's what I love about Peter's epistle, because Peter talks about that very thing. If one had fear, one need not fear a thing. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That is, when he returns again. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he returns again. and you are made new. In the twinkling of an eye, you and I will be changed, and we will be like our Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I love that phrase, a living hope. I mean, think about that. Our hope is not a dead hope. I'll give you an example. I've lived in New Orleans for a little while, and I love the Saints. I've always been a Saints fan since I was a kid, right? Because they were close to Mobile. Just like here, we're close to Houston. So I would assume most people are Houston fans and would be rooting for Houston over Dallas. Well, in New Orleans, of course, 2 years ago, the hopes of a city were smashed to pieces by a referee. The hope became dead. Right there, the game was in the hands of the Saints, and they would have been in the Super Bowl. But the Rams, well, that's another story. But that's dead hope. That's dead hope. But the city, just like any city, hopes for the next year. And everybody was saying, this is our year. This is it. And then during the playoffs, that hope, it disappeared again. It was dead hope. That's the problem with promises that men make or hopes that we have that aren't founded in the hope that is a living hope. Because, see, we live in a world that is not always friendly to us, and a people who sometimes are kind of ugly to one another. And that's all because of sin. And that's because we need a living hope. Something that is better, something that is more tangible, something that is secure in our lives, that gives us a firm foundation. And there is no better hope than that which is in Christ Jesus, who was raised from the dead. You see, we have eyewitnesses. That's why the Gospel of John is written, so that John can write about these wonderful things that happened, so that you may believe, so that you may have faith, faith which guards you to the end time when Christ returns again, will keep you in this promise that God has made. See, we know we have a living hope because Jesus was raised to life. Death did not conquer him. Oh, it may have appeared that way initially, until Jesus stands in the midst of his disciples who are behind locked doors. He just appears there and he says, peace be with you. Whatever fear was in their heart, whatever angst may have been there, was suddenly gone with those words. Because this kind of peace is not what the world gives. This is the peace that comes from God. This is the peace that says to the world, your sins have been taken care of. That which separated you and me is gone. That which became an obstacle for you is no longer there. That which would have kept you out of heaven has been removed. To all those who believe, salvation belongs to us. Now, this message that Jesus gave the disciples of peace and a mission, really, to go into the world and spread this good news and to forgive sins is carried out by these disciples. And they are willing to suffer for this living hope, for the Christ. And they will not be quiet. Under the threat of death, under the beating of the whip, they will not shut up. And that's what they were told to do. Shut up. See, a smart Pharisee, a teacher of the law, Gamaliel, told them, leave him alone. And you know, they listened to him, but they didn't listen to him. They should have left him alone. It made sense what Gamaliel said. If it's from God, it'll succeed. If it's not, we've seen it before. If it's not from God, it'll die. The leader will die. The followers will be dispersed. But these followers of Jesus are not dispersed, and they're not going to be quiet. Now the council of the Sanhedrin must have thought, well, we'll just go ahead and we'll whip them and tell them not to speak in that name anymore. And so that's what they do. But you see, they know something that has been revealed to them, and that is Jesus is God. He is the one who gives us life. He is the one who has forgiven us through his own actions. Jesus is the answer to all our fears. And they're not going to be quiet about it because they know other people need this good news. We too in this day need good news. I mean, we've had a virus that has gripped the nation, the world, in fear. In fear. All we can really do is respond to it. We don't have a solution for it. Our response is to hide behind locked doors, to socially distance ourselves from one another. See, we're doing everything opposite of what God intended. God intended human beings to hug each other and to show love for one another. How can we do that behind locked doors? How can we gather to worship when we are told we must keep our distance and not to congregate anyone, for that matter, in groups larger than 10? How are we to do that except from our hearts? We can do that. That is worship. But what about the other part? Human beings need contact. Human beings need hugs. Human beings need to be with their families. Human beings need to be with their friends. We were made to be this way, and yet our fear has gripped us, and we are unwilling to let that fear go. Why? Well, we have hope, right? We have hope that the scientists will come up with a solution. We have hope in them, and yet they're the ones that kind of put us in this place of fear. Faulty data, faulty science, whatever you want to say. And yet people continue to hang on to that, the data and the science. And we hear it. We hear it from the president. We hear it from governors. We hear it from all those around us. We got to listen to the data and the science. And yet the data keeps changing. First, it was going to be over 2 million people that would die from this thing in the United States or something like that. It was huge. And then it was lowered, and then it was lowered again, and then it was lowered again. We cannot depend on the data, but we can depend on our God. And in prayer and in service to one another, we will do what it takes. Now, the governor of New York, and I'm going to let it go a bit, I guess, said that all the work that they did in New York, that God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. Well, he's just plain wrong. People always say things like that. You know, God didn't do it. Where was God, you know? It's kind of like Ever G. Robinson in the Ten Commandments when he says to Charlton Heston playing Moses, "Now, Moses, where's your God now?" He's all around because God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has sent us out into the world. Not to stay behind closed doors. It wasn't going to work for the disciples. You need to go out and be in the world. And the church has been out in the world. And the church continues to be out in the world. Nurses, doctors, there's so many of them who are people of faith who believe that Jesus Christ is our living hope. Firemen, nurses, police officers, so many of our nation are followers of Jesus. And you're going to tell me that God had no hand in bringing the level of infection in New York down? We are the hands and feet of Christ. Christ sends us out. He sends us out with words of comfort. He sends us out with hands that are ready to do what needs to be done. And we do it because we have this living hope. A living hope that says we are born again in Christ, that we are God's sons and daughters, and we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that will not fade away, that is solid as Christ is solid. He is not a ghost, and he wants Thomas to go ahead, put your finger in my nail prints. Go ahead, put your hand in my side. But guess what? Thomas doesn't. He just looks and he confesses, "My Lord and my God." And that's what we do when we are living this living hope. We are confessing Jesus is our Lord and our God. And there is nothing that can remove that from us, because faith guards our souls. Faith clings to Christ and the living hope. We will not be quiet. We will not stop being the hands and feet and voice of our Lord and Savior. We are sent out with a message of good news, and the world needs that good news today. They need to know that God loves them, God cares for them, and 2,000 years ago, if you want to see the greatest hug in the world, there on the cross, Jesus stretched out his hands and arms for you and me. And in the resurrection, he wraps those arms around us, and he says, "I love you. Peace be with you." The peace Jesus gives, the world doesn't understand it. But those who believe, we understand it, and it is ours. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Hear us mercifully, Father, as we pray for ourselves, for the church, for our nation, and for all conditions and manner of people. God of mercy, keep us from the doubts and fears that cripple us and prevent us from knowing the fullness of your saving peace and gracious presence. Teach us to trust in your word and to believe with all our hearts, minds, bodies, and strength in Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised for our justification. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace, bestow upon your church your Holy Spirit and all the gifts that come down from on high. Grant to us faithful pastors who will preach faithfully, and give us ears to hear your word proclaimed. Sustain us while apart, and bring your scattered church together again quickly. Give us boldness in our witness before the world, and courage to speak your name without fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of power, give courage and strength to those persecuted for the faith, and comfort the families of the martyrs. In uncertain times, keep your church from being tossed about by the winds of change. Keep her steadfast in the doctrine of the apostles and the faith once delivered to the saints. Help us to admonish those who have fallen away and to restore with gentleness those who have wandered from the truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of might, counsel the nations and their leaders to act wisely in all matters. Bless us with faithful and just leaders who will protect the sanctity of life and defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Make us wise and discerning citizens who use the gift of liberty for noble purpose. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love, teach us to love one another as you have loved us. Guide us to make manifest the love and strength of Christ to our troubled and fearful world. Deliver us from disease and everything else that would threaten our homes and families. Protect the police, firefighters, disaster relief workers, and medical personnel who attend to us as well as the places where we live and work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of comfort, give your aid and relief to all who suffer want or need, to the sick in their afflictions, to those troubled in mind, and to those whom death draws near, especially those whom we now name from our hearts. Heal and sustain them according to your gracious will, and preserve them in faith to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope, be with those who grieve the loss of loved ones. Point them to the promise of the resurrection and the gift of everlasting life to all who die in Christ. Deliver us from distractions, that we may focus on your needful word and sacraments, and so be found faithful when our Lord returns in his glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, bless us with the good gifts of the earth, with the fruits of our honest labors, and with kind and generous hearts. Accept the worship of our hearts and voices, along with the tithes and offerings we bring in gratitude and thanksgiving. Look with mercy on the unemployed, and open our eyes and hearts to the needs of the poor, that we may serve them in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. O blessed God and Lord, hear the prayers of your people and teach us to trust in your will, to answer our prayers with all that is needful and beneficial, both for us and for all for whom we pray. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen, amen, amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.